Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Today, it's my pleasure to welcome the Stanley Cup champions, the St. Louis Blues. I watched it very carefully. I watched that season, and I said, gee, they're not doing very well this year. But you'll see the story. It's an amazing story of comebacks. Congratulations. These are great champions behind me, great athletes. I always respect great athletes, but they're also very smart, because you can't win unless you're smart. Takes more than just the muscles, right? I think we've all learned that.
President Trump had a little bit of fun in the Rose Garden yesterday with the St. Louis Blues and a lot of great St. Louisans. I recognized a lot of faces in the audience there yesterday, and quite frankly, I was jealous. I mean, I guess my invitation got lost somewhere, but saw Ann Wagner there. Senator Blunt was there. That's not a surprise. Eric Schmidt was there. And there were a lot of people from the St. Louis area who went for that ceremony yesterday, including Layla Anderson.
Yeah.
The president called her up.
That was so neat.
Oh, I know. It's just so touching. And just what a great tribute to this country. How professional of the Blues to go and accept that honor from the president of the United States when so many others have instead chosen to make some ridiculous political point by refusing to go. It was nice to see. It was
and
refreshing.
I love how the Blues were like, you know, we're a team. We do everything together. So we're here together. And it was just, so cool.
Yeah. It was very nice to see, particularly in light of what happened a little bit later on a baseball field somewhere in the nation's capital. But I will say this. The Cardinals, if somebody had told you at the All-Star break this year that the Cardinals would not only win their division but be playing in October for the World Series, for a chance to go to the World Series, you might have sent them to the local mental hospital to get a psychiatric evaluation, right? You wouldn't have believed it.
They went further than we expected, that's for sure.
Remember the trade deadline came and went? Everybody was mad at Mozeliak for not
make any changes,
getting
yeah.
some big blockbuster trade that could have pushed them over the edge and into the playoffs, and they got there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up in the Final Four. And I'll say it again. As a basketball fan, which you know I'm a college basketball fan, I always want my guys to bring home the championship. But if you make it to the Final Four teams standing, that's a big deal. That is a big deal. And people just need to enjoy it and bask in it and kind of look past the fact that for brief periods last night in the first inning, we looked a little bit like the Bad News Bears.
Yes, we did.
You just have to look past that and just keep going and not pay any attention to that.
We just went from such a high with that. With that win against the Braves to that last series.
Funny, I put that picture up on my Facebook page. Just a picture of the Bad News Bears. No.
Nothing else.
Nothing else. And just said, I can't help it. And my 24-year-old daughter comes to me later and she goes, Dad, I saw that picture you put up. I don't get it. She'd heard the phrase Bad News Bears. She had no idea what the movie was about.
Right.
So it was pretty funny. Just a little generational difference there. Yeah, exactly. All right, we got a lot going on today. We're going to get to Stacey Washington. Stacey on the right coming up here, 7:35. We'll pick her brain on what she saw last night on the debate stage here in a couple minutes. We've got Jeff Boyd, the alderman from the 22nd Ward, coming in at 8:10. And we'll give away our next Where's Hunter t-shirt in the 8 o'clock hour. And you two can sport one of these rare, limited edition Where's Biden, Where's Hunter t-shirts. Hunter thinks he knows where Hunter is. They even asked him about this on the air the other night. Go to 36, please.
Where is Hunter?
Where is Hunter?
He's right here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm working and I'm living my life.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of
Genevieve Wood joining us from the Heritage Foundation, the Daily Signal, dailysignal.com. So Hunter knows where Hunter is. It's just that nobody else in the media knew where he was, Genevieve.
Yeah, I love he says he's living his life. I'm like, he's probably living the life, considering how much money he was raking in over the years with his special deals. Yeah, so he finally appeared, but I think your shirt is still going to be very popular because my guess is he now goes back into hiding after making this one appearance with, frankly, one news anchor who asked none of the tough questions, as usual.
Well, you know, and here in St. Louis in particular, there were, if you had to prioritize what you were going to watch last night, baseball was number one. If you started to get disgusted with how bad the Cardinals were playing, you might have switched over to CNN number two. I'm guessing most people didn't see the groundbreaking breaking news interview on ABC with Hunter Biden. So I want to play one more bite. Hunter got a little defensive when they asked him how much money he got paid.
You were paid $50,000 a month for your position?
Look, I'm a private citizen. One thing that I don't have to do is sit here and open my kimono as it relates to how much money I make or did or didn't. But it's all been reported.
Yeah, a little defensive reason, and I hope he keeps that kimono closed.
Yeah, that's just a picture I don't even want to think about right now. No, you're right, but I mean, you're right, totally defensive. I mean, why did he sit down to an interview when that's the whole controversy, right? Is you're making a lot of money, and people are having a hard time figuring out exactly why. Well, we all know why, because of who your dad was and the position he was in. But that was his perfect opportunity to explain to the world his foreign policy expertise and how much more he knows about Ukraine and energy policy than the rest of us thought he knew. But he didn't go anywhere near that. He just got defensive about the actual pricing. But look, I don't think this is a story that's going to go away. I know they had the debate last night. None of the candidates really asked Joe Biden about that. They all talked about impeachment, but they never really talked about the whole Ukrainian piece at all. I still think that's something that could easily come up. I think they're hoping that Joe Biden will kind of go down on his own and they don't have to come after him and take him out. But I think eventually one of them is going to have to bring that issue up.
Cooper kind of apologized. It's like he was running interference for Joe Biden when he started out his questioning last night of Biden.
This is a false accusation.
Yeah, I want people to hear the first part of this. but he does come back with him with a question that I would have asked Biden had I been on that stage last night. Listen to this here, folks.
Vice President, President Trump has falsely accused your son of doing something wrong while serving on a company board in Ukraine. I want to point out there's no evidence of wrongdoing by either one of you. Having said that, on Sunday, you announced that if you're president, no one in your family or associated with you will be involved in any foreign businesses. My question is, if it's not okay for a president's family to be involved in foreign businesses, why was it okay for your son when you were vice president? Vice President Biden?
Look,
hello.
My son did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong.
Like a deer in the headlights. He was like a deer in the headlights, but it's a great question. Right?
It is a good question. I mean, I think his answer could have been, look, I want to make sure that there's absolutely no appearance to anybody that anything was wrong. So I'm that's going to be the standard. And I should have had that. He said I should have had that standard back in the day. But he was shocked. But again, I still argue, I mean, the way that Anderson Cooper began that question by saying this is a false accusation, he doesn't know that. He then went on to say, I mean, the facts so far don't show that this is a problem. He doesn't know, but I mean, he clearly set it up. I mean, it's the bias that you saw in the questioning, I think, last night was the exact reason that people are so disgusted with the mainstream media. I mean, you know, there were a few good questions here and there, but overall, softballs, and as I said, questions like that when we're just, I think, we're set up with very biased angles from the get-go.
Well, of course they were. It was pretty pathetic. One more quick bite here from Hunter Biden, where he admitted that he wouldn't have gotten the job with Burisma had his last name not been Biden.
If your last name wasn't Biden, do you think you would have been asked to be on the board of Burisma?
I don't know. Probably not. I don't think that there's a lot of things that would have happened in my life that if my last name wasn't Biden.
You think that initial drug dealer sold him drugs because his last name was Biden? I mean, I'm just trying to extrapolate out on his answer here, but he basically admitted Burisma hired him because that right there is a violation of something.
Yeah, maybe Anderson Cooper should have watched that interview.
Yeah,
but Mark, this is why he's been, quote-unquote, in hiding. This is why he's done one interview, because he doesn't have good answers. And not only does he not have good answers, he doesn't seem to have the chutzpah to, like, come up with a good spin on the answer.
No, thank you.
You know, I mean, it's like none of his responses, they either were defensive or they were just flat. And they weren't helpful, I don't think, to the case of the Bidens. So, I, as I said, I think he'll go back into hiding and we won't see him for some time.
Genevieve, I pointed out last week or maybe 2 weeks ago when this whole thing started to gain steam a little bit, that, you know, I for two terms served on my local city council here in the greater St. Louis area out in Wildwood. And every year you had to, as you were running for office, you had to sign a declaration that basically said that nobody in your immediate family worked for anyone who held a contract with the city of Wildwood, that you had to declare that up front so that if you ended up taking a vote on something, there was no conflict of interest that you were somehow only hiring company X because your son happened to work there. You had to declare it up front. Why is this any different? That would have been my other question to Joe Biden last night. I don't care if you discussed it with Hunter or not. You clearly golfed with he and his Burisma buddies. How can you argue that it wasn't a conflict of interest for him to be receiving money from somebody in the Ukraine while you were giving U.S. tax dollars to the Ukraine?
Yeah, it's so obvious, Mark. I mean, and it's so obvious. And this is, again, why they don't want to talk about it. But look, this is where, you know, if you're involved in politics, whether at the national level, the state level, whatever it happens to be, you have to go out of your way. It's your obligation as an elected official, somebody entrusted by the voters and the public, the people you represent. You know, you're overseeing, you know, in many cases, a lot of money through programs that you have power over. It's your obligation to make sure that even if there's not a double standard, there's no appearance of a double standard.
Right.
There's no appearance of a conflict of interest. And I just frankly think most politicians, as they do on many things, just kind of take it for granted that they don't have to play by those rules. And that goes up to the highest level, and that includes Joe Biden, until they get caught and it's called out. Every time a politician gets in trouble, we all say, what an idiot. Didn't they know this was going to be a problem? You know, and then you look at them and they act like, oh, gosh, I never thought I'd be the one who got caught. It happens all the time.
It does.
And like I said, I don't think they've got any, they really have no explanation here beyond, yes, Hunter Biden had the job he had because his last name was Biden. His father was vice president of the United States. And that company thought they were going to get some sort of influence with the administration at the time by putting him on their board. And they thought that was worth $50,000 a week or whatever he was getting. And that's the story. I mean, I think that's pretty simple.
Yep. Genevieve Wood, our guest this morning from the Heritage Foundation. The Drudge Report runs a poll after each one of these Democratic debates. Now, I know it's not scientific. Last time I looked at it, about 100,000 people had voted online on this. They voted Tulsi Gabbard the runaway winner last night. I don't know if you watched any of her answers or not, but here's what she said last night that must have made a lot of the crazy left Democrats watching must have just driven them crazy. Go to cut four, please.
Unfortunately, this is what we've already seen play out as calls for impeachment really began shortly after Trump won his election. And as unhappy as that may make us as Democrats, he won that election in 2016.
Wow. What a... Tulsi, are you on the right stage?
Yeah, no, when I saw her say that last night, I'm like, I think she may be the first Democrat who's actually admitted that. I don't know that I've heard another one actually say Donald Trump won the election in 2016. Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't see some heads explode on the stage. But she had a couple of those moments last night where, you know, it wasn't that these were right-wing statements. She just challenged the current conventional wisdom of the leftists in the Democratic Party, which is basically now the entire party. You know, she talked about abortion should be rare, and that we should be working towards that direction. I mean, that's not the pro-life stance that I want to see. In other words, she wasn't saying calling for defunding of Planned Parenthood and so forth, but she was the only one up there who even had a sensible stand on issues like that. I mean, defense across the board. She made more sense, I think, than any of the others that I heard.
Yeah, even though she's clearly gaining no ground on the Democratic side, I'm not even sure her performance last night helps her. Go to cut number five, where she discussed abortion.
I do, however, think that there should be some restrictions in place. I support codifying Roe v. Wade while making sure that during the third trimester, abortion is not an option unless the life or severe health consequences of a woman...
Yeah, so there she doesn't like the idea of third trimester abortions. So she's really flying in the face of a lot of the more radical wing of the Democratic Party. Maybe Joe Biden comes out soon and announces Tulsi Gabbard as his running mate.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, at the national level, I hate to give him any advice, but that'd be a much better call. I mean, in terms of if you want to, you know, have a candidate who definitely has more leftist policies and is, you know, far different in direction policy-wise than the Trump administration is going to go, but, you know, could make her case. And I would say isn't necessarily an old-school Democrat. She's still pretty left, but when she's compared to all those others up there, she looks really moderate. But, yes. I mean, you have to think about who she's standing next to, and you have to listen to what they're saying, and you're like, wow, she is a moderate. I mean, compared to these folks.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. My daughter was sitting there watching it with me last night, and she had no idea who Tulsi Gabbard was, but she was struck by what she was saying and her appearance on stage with some of these other Democrats. So who knows? Maybe she gets a little traction after this. Genevieve, what was your reaction to the fact that once again Nancy Pelosi was announced that she would not take a vote on impeachment? I think it's just an admission that Pelosi knows there's no there, and it kind of disrobes the emperor in terms of what their real intention is here, just to ride this to the election.
Yeah, well, I think what it shows is if there is anything there, they haven't got it. Okay, because if they had it, they would be voting. But I think the reality is you're absolutely right. They don't have it, and so therefore she doesn't want to have to put any Democrats on record. They can all be on record saying, I think we should investigate, I think we should have an impeachment investigation. But this way they don't have to be on record saying, I actually voted to impeach when I didn't actually have the evidence. And I think that's what she's trying to have it both ways. She wants the public to think all the evidence is there, he's totally guilty, but we're not voting on it. I mean, she's really trying to have it both ways because she knows the evidence isn't there, and so she doesn't want to put especially Democrats in tough districts who in many cases were red districts or blue districts that went for Trump last time around. She doesn't want those folks to have to be on the record. But again, I don't think the public's dumb. And I think the longer this goes on, the more clear it becomes. This is more politics than it is a legitimate investigation.
Yeah. Seeing Matt Gaetz kicked out of that hearing and understanding everything
it's
leaked. Yeah.
Capitol Hill is often a circus, but this is all three rings and sideshows and the whole bunch. I mean, because you're going to see more of it. You're going to see more of it because they can't let them in. You can't let Mark Meadows or Jim Jordan or any of these people in because they're going to ask good questions and they're going to know you guys don't have the goods.
And the ringmaster is Adam Schiff, no doubt about it. I got to run, Genevieve. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Mark.
We will talk soon. Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org, the website down there, dailysignal.com. They got some great articles on there. Great one today about the effort to prevent Judge Kavanaugh from getting on the Supreme Court. Check that one out if you get a chance.
favorite medical marijuana. I want to make sure that's clear as well.
Thank you.
Senator Sanders, this debate does tonight. Mark your this debate.
In case you were wondering, Bernie Sanders was not stoned during the debate last night. At least not last night specifically. He was very specific about that.
Or at least he doesn't think he was. Would he have remembered smoking? I don't know.
I don't know. We'd have to talk to somebody experienced in that particular field.
Yeah,
I don't know if it leads to memory loss or not. I can't address that.
Yeah, me neither.
Now, if we're talking about bourbon, I might be able to help you out.
That most certainly leads to memory loss from time to time.
That can happen. That if you overindulge, that's for sure. Hey, welcome back. Glad that you're back here with us. I'm watching. I just glanced up a minute ago to CBS this morning. And they've dragged some people onto the set who are related to somebody named Harry Dunn, who they're claiming they were ambushed at the White House by this whole thing. And I was trying to figure out who in the world this guy was. Their son died. He invited him to the White House, and suddenly the suspect was in the next room. And I'm like, why is this a story on CBS this morning? I just don't understand it. It happened out of the country. It was a very odd story. Harry died in North Hampshire, England, on August 27th. And the person accused of doing it was married to a U.S. intelligence official. And these people get invited to the White House, and then suddenly this lady is there, and they were thrown into a room with her, and they were uncomfortable with it. And it's an example of the lengths the mainstream media in this country are willing to go to find anything they can try to throw at this president, anything to try to tarnish the image of this White House. It was just a very strange story to basically lead with at the bottom of their hour just then, 7:30.
Mm. Yeah,
Harry Dunn is the guy's name. Very odd.
It seems like it's still a story because it's so strange, but I don't know how this is Trump's fault.
I don't know either. It's just one more great example of how far the media is willing to go to be the lapdog of the Democratic Party in this country. Let's get to Stacey, please. We witness it every day, don't we, Stacey Washington? That's the truth.
That's all we can do is just try to survive in the age of Trump and Trump derangement syndrome.
Wow. It's complete derangement syndrome. It doesn't matter what is done or said. You know, I'm interested to get your take on this. I had John Shimkus on the radio yesterday. The congressman there from the 15th district over in Illinois, and he's the one that claims that he has quit his support for the president largely over what's happened in Syria. Now, as a veteran and somebody who's observed this situation, how do you feel about the president's decision over there?
Okay, so I know this is going to be a shock to some people who, if you've listened to me from the very beginning up until now, this is a bit of a metamorphosis, but I have good reasoning behind it. It's because I've spent a lot of time on the radio, just like you, Mark, interviewing people who've actually spent their adult lives studying the Middle East and Syria, the Kurds, all of the different things that are at play here. And what we have is a NATO ally going to invade Syria, and all of the Kurds, it's not like 100% of the Kurds are on one side. Some of the Kurds are fighting with Syria. That just happened. Some of them obviously want their own country away from Turkey, and they want to break away. So this isn't a simple issue that you just say, oh, you know what, Mark? Here's two sentences, and that explains the whole morass. But where do I stand on it? Well, I tend to allow myself some space to understand both sides of any issue. But on this one, I tend to just boil it down to, why are we there? It's a nice, easy question. And I haven't been able to find anyone who wants us to still be there, who can tell us why we should expend our precious capital, meaning the blood of our servicemen and women, to be in a space where Turkey is going into Syria. We've already accomplished our mission there. We quote-unquote wanted to destroy ISIS. We've done that. We've ended their caliphate. They are no more. And the countries, that the ISIS soldiers come from don't want to receive them back. And so we're supposed to stay there so we can be basically a big, huge American jail for countries that don't want to take responsibility for their own citizens? I don't think so. The other issue that I have is the president said when he was on the campaign trail that he was going to lessen the number of foreign entanglements that the United States military was involved in and end some of the senseless wars that we're engaged in that do not have a congressional authorization. So not going into Syria with Turkey or preventing them from going into Syria or arming the Kurds or being with the Kurds, in other words, picking yet another failed side, is exactly what he said he was going to do on the campaign trail. So if you voted for Donald Trump, awesome, he's following through on promises. If you didn't, this should not shock you because this is what he told you he was going to do. So I think it's actually pretty logical. And I think there's just one more question after why should we be there. We've been there for 30 years. We've not won much. This is one situation where we have actually accomplished a goal, a stated goal, that Congress didn't get to ratify. So what reason do we have to stay beyond what we said we were going to do? And yeah. I haven't found anybody who can answer either one of those questions.
Yeah, well stated. I had Jim Carafano on last week. He's trying to describe the fact that it's not a huge policy change, given the fact that there's no congressional approval for being there in the first place. There are about 200 troops involved. John Shimkus says that, you know, having the 200 troops there was the equivalent of having people massed on the border in the DMZ. It prevents North Korea from coming across. When we had U.S. troops stationed in Germany, it prevented Russia from coming across. His argument is that just our presence was important to our allies there. And I'm like, but as you pointed out, the mission was accomplished. And all we were doing was standing there as a placeholder, and the president was having to write letters to the families of troops that were being killed and trying to explain why they gave their life for the country. And he couldn't.
Well, and so it's true. If you put American resources on the ground anywhere in the world, that comes with the full force and credit of the United States military and the U.S. government. And that is a deterrent. And you're right, it sounds crazy, but 200 troops does accomplish that. But is that what we're really, is that still a part of what we went there for? And that's where I go to. And the other thing I have to say about what the president said, it's not the same thing. I'm not trying to make an equivalency here, but I did serve on the U.S. Honor Guard when I was on active duty in the Air Force down at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. And one of the toughest things I've ever had to do was when it was my turn to bear the folded flag that we removed from the draping of the casket and hand it to a family member. And I remember the couple of times I did it, you basically march back over and then it's time for the 21-gun salute. And I would just be fighting back the tears because the air would be so thick with emotion because it's a funeral.
Right.
And so these are people who've given their lives. And these are people who have a choice to go into the military and offer themselves up on behalf of our Constitution and this great country. So it's not that we pity them because they didn't know what they were getting into. Every service member goes in with their eyes wide open. But it doesn't change the fact that sometimes I feel like they're dying for something that we can't.
Whoop, did we lose her? Stacey, you there?
I'm still here. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. So your phone cut out. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's wrong to me when we don't have an explanation or a clear-cut goal as to what we're working for, the reason that people are giving their lives.
Yes.
They know why they're doing it, but we want to have a clear-cut reason why they're doing it. And their family members should never feel as if their son or daughter died and it's not really a good reason. And there's no quote fingers in that. Mm-hmm. You really want to have a valid reason why your child gave their life for this country. The president has made an excellent point, and we should think about that.
That's a good point. Stacey, a great common sense as usual. We appreciate you bringing it to the show. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
You bet. We'll talk soon. Stacey on the right there, stacyontheright.com. Glad to have her voice back on this radio station. Can I tell you that? 314-241-9797. What say you? We'll get to your calls coming up. That was Erin Burnett during the Democratic debate last night. I'm not sure which one of them she was talking to, but just kidding.
Probably Joe, right?
Could have been. Joe looked a little out of it. I don't know what he was doing.
The most out of it.
Yeah.
It still strikes me as so funny whenever Bernie Sanders comes in and just shouts out of nowhere. It's like
he needs to be careful, right?
Well, he's got a stent now. He's all right.
Oh, still.
Yeah. He doesn't want to. He doesn't need to get that worked up.
Yeah, I mean, like, relax a little bit.
Ignore the elephant in the room. He's fine.
He's just such a character.
He's almost 80, but he's fine. Wow. Would you elect your grandparent as president? I mean, I guess that's the question. Maybe you have an 80-year-old who's sharp as a tack. And
that's
can
the thing.
That,
I don't know that that's fair. I think that some people, because Trump's getting up there in age, too. Some people age more gracefully than others.
Thank you. Trump's like an Energizer bunny. I mean, he gets 4 hours of sleep a night, and
he's a grandpa,
constantly going.
But he's, but he's somebody's grandpa that we did elect. So
I'm saying like 80 plus. Bernie Sanders
would
be.
Not sure you can put a number
80
on it.
By the time, I'll put a number.
All right, Mark has a number. I don't.
I don't
have a number?
Either.
I have a number. Wasn't there a commercial about that one time? What's your number? Hey, speaking of which, guess who broke the internet? They say this morning. This is all over the world. I'm on the BBC reading about this Harry Dunn story, and I see a link. Jennifer Aniston just broke Instagram. Mm-hmm. What the hell does that mean? What'd she do?
I mean, she joined
posted
Instagram.
She joined Instagram, posted a picture, and now she's got probably a bajillion followers.
The picture happened to be of the Friends cast.
Oh, yes,
the current,
by the way.
Well, because everyone's, all these shows are being remade or redone, and they're trying to get these groups back together, and I'm sure you post a picture of that, and they're like, oh, maybe it'll be a Friends movie, or a remake of Friends, or whatever, which I doubt will happen.
All six of them were at Courtney Cox's house, no relation, and Jennifer Aniston snapped a photo and joined Instagram with it, and she suddenly had like 8 million followers.
Everyone loves Jennifer Aniston. I followed her, too.
I love that they were all together.
Yeah.
How cool is that? All these years later, they're hanging out as
I watched that show. I thought it was funny. She earned new cred with me with We're the Millers. That was my favorite role for her. I'll just say that. I'll just leave that out there if you haven't seen it. All right. 314-241-9797. Alderman Jeff Boyd coming up from the 22nd Ward in the city. We'll talk about their new gun ordinance they passed requiring anybody who fails a background check to be reported to police. And I want him to explain to me how that's going to fix anything.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.